Blog Talk Radio.
I won't let nothing.
There's a story of an old sister who would come to church every Sunday. It was pain aching in her body. She would struggle from the back of the church all the way to the front pew, sometimes with tears streaming from her eyes. And one day, one of those young sisters got beside her, and she told that old sister, "Sister, if you're in so much pain, why don't you just turn around and just stay home sometime?" That old sister just held her Bible close and said these words.
As I read the stories of old, and I look at old man Joe, she lost everything that he had in just one day. Now can't you see him as he spoke with his wife? But she said, "You ought to curse your God and die." I can imagine with tears in his eyes, I can hear Joe say, "I won't let nothing
turn me around.
Though he slay me, I'm still gonna trust
him.
No sickness, no sorrow, no pain. See, this is what I've learned. You see, when time in life gets hard, that's when you ought to fall down and worship God. So I won't let nothing.
She told us, she said, "Before I take it back, I'll add more stuff."
What about those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king said, "Better bow down before that image"? That day, yeah, yeah. Well, those boys were scared of the fire. Hey, they looked the king dead in the eyes, with no fear in their hearts. I can hear them say,
I won't let nothing,
no, turn me around.
I won't let
no weapon formed against me to prosper. See, there's one thing I know. Sometimes we gotta go through the fire, but it's good to know Jesus will be right there by your side. I'm not gonna let nothing, no.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep moving, and I'll never turn around. I'm determined, I've got a made up mind, I'm gonna get my crown. She told her, she said, "I won't let nothing, no,
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our morning words of encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. Today's words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Roger Jones. We kindly ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Jones, you are on the air.
Good morning and welcome to Words of Encouragement. We're in James chapter 4, starting with verses 1 through 6. And this section of the book of James deals with the causes of temptation and wrongdoing. Why is it that I do what I don't want to do? And so James is going to give us some insight as to what's going on in this duality of our natures, the spiritual man and the fleshly man, and why we have the troubles that we have. If we look around us and see our world as unattractive, what tells us it's unattractive? In order to make a value judgment between what is attractive and what is not, or what is ugly and what is not, we need to have a concept of beauty. But how do we acquire a concept of beauty in the midst of imperfection? No human has ever seen perfect beauty. We have seen many beautiful things, but the closer we look at a beautiful thing, the more defects we find. So what do we use as our model for beauty? This is the point at which Christian thought separates from non-Christian thought. The secular humanist diagnosed the problem with people as society. This philosophy says that people get warped personalities, get into trouble, become neurotic, because of society's structure. They claim that the injustices in society produce chaos in people's lives. Secular journalists even write editorials claiming our problem is Bible-based Christianity, which has permeated the society. Other critics falsely believe that Christianity fosters bigotry, and bigotry is our society's downfall. However, the Word of God tells us what is wrong with society: sin. The problem is not conflict between human instinct and structural society, religious bigotry, but sin. Many churches don't even recognize this truth. Sigmund Freud, one of the world-renowned psychologists, believed man had a basic problem, but he ignored sin in his hypothesis. He taught that man's instincts do not measure up with what society expects of him, so therefore these two forces are always in collision. In a conflict, Freud believed, is internalized by the person as a result of the training and conditioning received in childhood. Freud recognized the basic problem inherited man, but he did not see the answer being man's separation from God. Albert Ellis, another prominent psychologist, in one of his most memorable statements said that he had never met a human being who did not have a large size hole in his head. Both Freud and Ellis tried to say that something is wrong with us. This something wrong is not just a trait of those people who are mental patients in hospitals or people who are having obvious severe. Freud might say we have something wrong with us because all other people have a death wish. Or he might say our instinct cannot attain to what society requires of us. Ellis explains that the large hole in our head needs to be filled with positive growth stimuli, or it will program itself for destruction. Our problem, dear listener, however, is not society, not conflict between our instincts and society, not a hole in the head, not only because of our childhood in which we were unloved or abused. Our problem is sin. Here's what we tell ourselves when we avoid the problem of sin. whatever is wrong with me, it isn't my fault. It's my childhood. It's society. It's life. It's hard knocks. Whatever is wrong with me is worthy of my deepest concern and despair. I am a poor victim of fate, and my problems are the worst in the world. Nobody suffers as I do. If they do, I really don't care. The answer to my problem lies outside of my own abilities. Someone else is responsible to make me feel better, and they had better hurry up and do it. This is the thinking of society. Many times when crimes are committed, we want to put it on what we went through in our childhood. Maybe it was the drugs that enhanced the thought of committing this crime. It is not true that our well-being depends upon other persons or things or environment delivering good things to us. As with most people, you again and again look for answers outside of yourself because you see your problem, or we see our problem, as due to life not treating us right. And we think that the problems are environmental. James is going to show us that we are the problem. James chapter 4. Verses 1 through 6, listen to what James says. From which come wars and fightings among you? Come not, they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he said, God resist the proud, but give a grace unto the humble. Causes temptation and wrongdoing. We're always facing temptations and trials, and all too often we find ourselves yielding and doing the wrong thing. This passage begins a new division in the book of James. The all-important discussion on temptation and trials and how to conquer them. But before we can conquer temptations and trials, we must understand what causes them. Just what is it that causes temptation and wrongdoing? This passage says that there, the causes, number one, James says, lust. Number two, he says, distrust. Number three, he says, praying amiss. And number four, he said, worldliness, friendship with the world. Tune in on next Monday as we begin an in-depth study as to why do I do what I don't want to do. Shall we pray? Eternal God, our Father, we come once again in the meekest and humblest manner that we know how. Thank you, kind Father, for awakening us out of the sleep and slumber of the night. Do this devotion, and to those who join this devotion, to do so. Father, we ask for strength to do your will. We ask for wisdom to apply the knowledge that we acquire from your word, to apply it to our lives, and to live in a way that will exemplify to the world that we belong to you. Bless all your people throughout this world. Those that are struggling severely, we ask, Father, that you would give them providential care. Watch over them. Let no hurt, harm, or danger befall them. And, Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for our government, our president. We ask that you rule in the kingdom of men and the things that are going on, the laws that are in force, that are contrary to your laws, we ask that you give us as your people the strength to stand firmly upon your word and not submit to those laws. Father, we ask that you bless everyone on the call. We ask that you go with us through the furnace of this day, and that will be enough. In Christ Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.